Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, blessed souls, here it comes. And we're alive because we're staying alive with the blessings of the Most High in Torah Chaim. Instructions of life, Torah Chesed. Instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim. Instructions of mercies. You now tune into blogtalkradio.com, and we humbly suggest we are the higher inner frequency of blogtalkradio.com. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class number 565. Meditation equals wellsprings for the human soul program. Presentation number 27. Baruch Hashem. Blessed is our Creator. Shalom. Peace and bracha. Blessing upon the human family experience. With Creator's help, we're now broadcasting live on February 23rd, 2016, corresponding to the 13th of Adar Rishon, Purim Katan, Adavar Gadol. Live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA Unified Soul Actualizations. Our call-in number, if you choose to make the program today for the next 28 minutes a little more organic, a little more spontaneous, is 347-838-8669. Our focus will be extracting inspirations from Hillel of Parch's elucidations upon the Mittler Rebbe Shor Yuchud, the Gate of Unification. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. And today's tags for today's program are Eternal Creator, Divine Image, Universal Redemption, Chassidus, Rav Hillel Parch, Mittler Rebbe, Shor Yuchud, the Gate of Unification. And last but not least, Children of Israel collaborating with Children of Noah to meditate to end the hatred and jealousy and unnecessary competition, which unfortunately still plague this blessed world. With that being said, we're going to have to turn down the music to our segue opening piece by brother in spirit, prayer, and soul, Rav Isaac Piton, president of Beit Mazal, which is a Shabbat congregation here in Kesakron Heights, located at 1433 President Street, located between Kingston Avenue and Albany Avenue. Prayers will be starting Bezer Hashem with the help of the Most High this coming Shabbat for Shabbat Parsha Tetzaveh at 10 o'clock, where you can actually hear, and you don't have to pay, for free, a different type of reality, the chanting of ancient Israelite liturgy, which was established by our sages of Israel and our prophets of Israel, according to the Jewish Moroccan North African styles of chanting, and other Sephardic forms, Sephardic Jewry forms, as well as Ashkenazi. And before we turn on the program, just remember what Rabbi Isaac has to tell us all. Okay, let's get ready. We got to go on with the show. And sorry, Rabbi Isaac, we just got to turn on the music a little bit. I'm sorry. Here we go. Oi, there we go. That's the end of that. Well, that was, and hopefully will be the beginning of another presentation of Isaac Music tomorrow. And with that being said, I also want to dedicate today's program to a very special couple who live out in the northern part of California, here in this blessed land. Joseph Israel and his wife of valor, Christy, or Karina, as I like to call her as well, which means like a joyous song. Joseph Israel, as you know, if those who don't know, you should know, he is a wonderful musician. And more importantly, him and his wife are wonderful, beautiful human beings, totally in touch with their divine image, involved in acts of kindness towards others, raising three wonderful children, seeking every opportunity to encourage other human beings to live healthy lifestyles from the perspective of exercise, nutrition, and love of one's fellow man, fellow woman, connected to the idea of a haftarei chamocha, loving your neighbor as you would love yourself. So today's program is dedicated to them in the celebration of their 18th year of being a husband and wife team. And may the Almighty bless them that those who come to visit their humble abode out in Northern California, whenever Joseph performs on the road or close by, wherever he and his band, Joseph Israel and the Jerusalem band, are playing, people should sense that they are connected to the Creator and the divine presence should be dwelling in their concerts and in their home, and for those who interact with them, to make this world a more habitable place to live for all of us. With that being said as well, I want to dedicate today's program to my father, my dear father, Reb Shlomo Yaakov, Sheyichya Ben Esther Aleiha Shalom, that he should continue to go from strength to strength and healing from his more than we wanted it to be hospitalization. But now he's in a rehab in the Del Ridge Rehab out in Paramus, New Jersey, where he and the rest of us lived for many years as a family unit. And for my mother, Yiska Techiah Bas Chayasa Aleiha Shalom, she should go from strength to strength in all the matters. And she recently fractured her right pinky toe, and that should be healed up ASAP. So, blessed souls, listen, I'll go right into today's presentation. And we're going to kind of slow cook these concepts for you. Because meditation, the very idea of meditation from the Chabad Hasidus cognitive approach, is one of a slow, simmering type of cognitive outlook. And it takes just as long as not only to cognitively understand these concepts, but also to internalize them within our blessed hearts, and as well in the rest of our part of our blessed bodies. Blessed souls, we turn to today's presentation concerning the quality of essence, Bechinas Etzem, which can be restated as an essential point. So when we're talking about the essential point of a Torah concept, a muskal, as it exists unto itself, and is called, as Rav Hillel calls it, the hasaga, which is also can be called bina, understanding. Now what's going on here, blessed souls, is that Rav Hillel and the Mittler Rebbe want us to know that when you get to the depth of a concept that you're learning in Torah, you can understand it, but there's also the implications of that understanding. And I was thinking since maybe late last night, for certainly I was thinking about it this morning, the difference between understanding and comprehension. But we can use a pretty simple allegory. Take the numerical value of 1, and to the right of that numerical 1, you put a plus sign. And to the right of that plus sign, you put a numerical value of 1. So 1 plus 1, and then you put a numerical symbol, meaning the equal sign, equals 2. So we understand 1 unit plus 1 unit equals 2. Now, the comprehension, which hopefully will start to be developed when we teach that to a small child, is not only to understand that we can take two numerical figures, symbols, and they become a greater total, but they should be acutely in tune to the fact that a plus sign was used and an equal sign was used. So they are well prepared to engage in more advanced types of addition problems. So now, they should know what to do when they say a 15 plus sign 27 equals 42. And so, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then they can start to add, say, 1 divided by 2 plus 4 divided by 2 equals 2 1/2. Or they can, when they get to the next level, they can get into 3 squared plus 4 squared, equaling 25. And then they can come to add up negative 7 plus 3 1/2 equals 3 1/2. I hope I did one right. The point of this is that the understanding is to recognize that something is identifiable, which you can elaborate upon, but to recognize as well within that environment of understanding that there's implications that will allow us to grow from that simple understanding, as I just simply illustrated through the usage of the plus sign and the equal sign, and then all the other numbers that were I plugged in as we discussed this matter. So, when we get to that point of understanding, that an essential point as it exists unto itself, and it's called the Omaka Musag, the depth of comprehension, or some may prefer to use the term Omaka Musag as referring to the depth of a Torah concept. This starting point, meaning the depth of the comprehension, from where there can be dispersed eventually the elucidation of a human being who has reached the depth of the comprehension. A human being can now comprehend towards any side, entailing a great width or breadth, i.e., they, he or she has accumulated a healthy database concerning a Torah concept and has become aware of and can now elucidate, understands and can elucidate upon the many particularities associated with that database. For instance, we take the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, which you can learn more about by going to chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, excuse me, in the Sefer Devarim, the book of Deuteronomy. You can read it tersely. Then you can go to see what Rashi says or the other great elucidators of the oral Torah tradition on this verse or these verses in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. And so too when also now, if we look at that concept of the Shema, the recitation of the Shema, so we're considering then the perspective of the length of a Torah concept. The length of a Torah concept testifies towards a powerful dissension dash simplification entailing a presentation of allegories. Now, if we were to take the recitation of the Shema, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, I'm not going to offer what type of allegories can be used, but many times I know that when children are being taught such a hallowed mitzvah as the Shema, various symbols can be used. Like for at the beginning of the Shema, it says, "Vahavta es Hashem Elokecha," and you shall love Hashem your God. You can put a heart and a you, meaning whose heart that you should love the Creator your God. Now, I don't know how we allegorize two names of God, but with all of your heart and with all of your soul and all of your might. How would one would allegorize all of one's heart? I'm not sure all of one's soul, but all of one's might. You can show a picture of a person picking up a heavy weight or pushing a car up a mountain or pushing a wagon up a hill. These approaches are what give a certain texture to the depth of a concept, which in and of itself doesn't need this texturing, whether it be a very healthy database or a very healthy database of allegories, of proverbs. So what we are witnessing in actuality, blessed souls, is that there's a springing forth from this essential point. There can be an elevation of perception, and this elevation of perception can be quantitative, and it could be quantifiable. Consciousness empowering any human being to perceive beyond that seminal essential point that he or she has become aware of by virtue of the fact they're learning a particular Torah concept. Mittler Rebbe goes on to say, this idea of going beyond the essence of a point, etzem nekudoso, is a process of elevation which he does allegorize, just as, say, we say like water has a tendency to rise when it builds up in pressure and in volume, going from below to above, just as we saw in the time of the flood of Noah, over 4,100 plus years ago. And there too, the Mittler Rebbe wants us to know that so it shall be in the days of Mashiach, Yamosa Mashiach, as alluded to in the holy work, the Zohar, the Book of Light. That there shall be an opening up of wellsprings of perception within the cognitive field of consciousness of wisdom. Opening up of human wisdoms is certainly evident, and I don't think no one's going to argue that since the mid-19th century, with all the technological developments which have transpired from the I think it might have been before, I'm not exactly sure when the locomotive engine began, but photography and pasteurization, electricity, telegraphing, all this is an expression of human wisdom becoming more elevated to perceive that it's not magic to tap into electricity. It's not something which is forbidden. Torah mandates, scripture, judgments. It is something that human beings have the option of accessing. Now, what will happen, as predicted by the Zohar, around 1800 years ago, whose author was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, is that as the lower wisdoms of human consciousness are opened up, it's going to lead to an arousal and elicitation of wisdoms from above. What we're saying is, blessed souls, is that as human beings become more refined in their perception of profundities as it exists in the natural world, it shall trigger a corresponding higher opening up of the perception of very spiritual, seemingly, once upon a time, too ethereal perceptions of godliness. And with that being said, from the spheriotic divine conduit paradigm, Rev Hillel wants us to know, in his elucidation on the Mittler Rebbe, this is being empowered by a quality of the divine conduit known as Yesod, foundation. The quality of a foundation known as Yesod, as it is connected to the spheriotic presentation of Abba, of wisdom. So the foundation of the conduit of wisdom shall be illuminating into the Yesod Zohar, into that spheriotic conduit of foundation, Yesod, that is part and parcel of a series of divine conduits which are connected to the source of empowerment of all emotional forms of plasticity for the creation and ultimately channeling down into human emotional plasticity. And this whole process, as described in the Zohar, as Rev Hillel wants us to know, is the opening up of the gateways of understanding, and with the opening up of the gates of understanding on the godly level, and is ultimately leads to the opening up of the gates of wisdom, or the gates of understanding for human beings, they will be embedded within the power to elevate the wellsprings of the abyss even more so. What it means, blessed souls, is that as we human beings try to get more and more involved in understanding our physical universe, in a corresponding sense, we'll become more sensitive to the fact that there's more than just our physical universe. And our sense of preconceptions, which, according to the scientific method, can basically go in four different directions. Preconceptions relating to identifying patterns, meaning the patterns might agree or disagree with our preconceptions. The predictions, which ultimately connect to a prediction, and the prediction could wipe away a preconception or be molded by a preconception. Our hypotheses can be affected by our preconception or affect us in a way that perhaps we misperceived in our misconceptions. And then our preconceptions can connect to our observations and experiments and the collecting of verifiable data. And then after we have our period of observations and experiments and data, which leads to identifying patterns, we have to ask ourselves, were our original preconceptions properly aligned to the truth of the matter we're trying to observe? Or do we have to reshape our preconceptions and humble ourselves? Many times, more than not, was that our preconceptions were misconceptions. It's not necessarily a negative thing, but because our human intellect, as great as it is, very limited, and by nature will distort until we fuse it, we make a fusion of our human conceptions or perceptions or preconceptions with the godliness which is embedded in elucidated Torah teachings. But by even before we get to the elucidation of the Torah teachings, it's very important for us to connect to the idea that any Torah concept, which is an expression of godliness, is also an expression of how that godliness can manifest into full-blown elucidations to empower us and the rest of the creation. So we're going to stop right here. Again, we were slow simmering in these teachings. We'll hope to continue next week with similar elucidations. So we're concluding now with, of course, the segue music we love to end off with from Brother David Dohm, will help us get back home, help us realize and internalize our Tzelem Elohim is no dream. Our divine image will help us get out and scrimmage to help us understand that we can do good. And even though if that generates ambivalence, agita, anxiety, whatever you want to say, Hateva Hatov Lehetiv, it is the nature of the good to do good, and Creator is the source of all of good, especially our goodness, has embedded within us a little chip, a human microcosmic chip connected to that macrocosmic goodness. If we access it, how good and pleasant our portion will be. Now concluding with David Dohm's To See Us to the Day, and may we be empowered to see us to the day in a way of Ahava Chad, one love, Goral Chad, one destiny kulanu for all of us, B'darchi Noam, in a pleasant way, D'archi Shalom, in a peaceful way, L'hamshich B'ezah Hashem Yisbrek, to be continued with the help of the Most High Creator. Take care, everyone.